This is 2LO, the London station of the British Broadcasting Company calling. 2LO calling.
I refer, of course, to the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, which at midnight on Sunday last succeeded the Canadian Radio Broadcasting Commission in the control of national radio as a Canadian public service.
These are some of the very first sounds ever broadcast on radio. BBC Radio in London signing on with its transmitter 2LO, very early CBC Radio as it changes over from its start as the CRBC. Canadian National Railway Radio, yes, CN Rail, using telegraph wires parallel to its rails to send signals to transmitters in cities across Canada, and from there to radio receivers. And finally there, a dramatization of the voice of a Canadian who forever changed the way radio would be used more than 110 years ago. Yes, it's a Canadian who first put voice and music over a radio transmitter. I'm Paul Cross. This is Cross Talk, Commentary and Analysis, Season 1, Episode 15. What a marvelous invention this Marconi fellow has come up with, I imagine people saying in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, this wireless telegraph system, a way to send messages very long distances, across the seas or out to ships at sea, places we could not possibly connect with actual wires. Marconi certainly is recognized as the inventor of wireless transmission. He was the first to send signals all the way across the Atlantic Ocean. That was in 1901. If you ask in other countries, I'm not sure how widely known it is that those signals were sent from Signal Hill at St. John's, Newfoundland. Later, the Marconi Company owned early radio stations and transmitters in Canada and the U.S. But by the time Marconi started those radio stations, the company was doing something very Canadian. Putting voice and music, live or recorded, over radio waves is a Canadian idea. I did not know this until I was studying broadcasting in college. It's still a revelation to students I meet, and strangely, to some broadcast and media academics, or maybe there's a reason to be skeptical. Let's rewind a little. In 1901, Marconi sends his transatlantic wireless signal. But on December 23, 1900, a Canadian had completed the first known transmission of live human voice over transmitter. This is the voice of Reginald Fessenden.
Hello, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Fessenden, from Bolton, near Sherbrooke, Quebec, is a 34-year-old university dropout working for the United States Weather Service. He has an idea that voice can be transmitted through the air. We've just heard a bit of his voice from 1900, when he asks his assistant 50 miles away if it is snowing where he is, and if so, to please send a message by telegraph confirming. The message comes back. It is snowing. Fessenden's voice has been transmitted, received, heard, and understood. Fast forward 6 years now, and Fessenden is ready to test even more sound transmission. He advises ships from the United Fruit Company to expect to receive a special message at 9 o'clock on Christmas Eve. Sure enough, at 9 o'clock on Christmas Eve, 1906, as the story goes, Fessenden fires up his transmitter, reaches for a microphone, and says hello to ships at sea. Plays some recorded music, reads from the Christian Bible, and then plays his violin. There's apparently no recording of that, but there are various dramatizations, including this piece, taken from a longer feature on National Public Radio, NPR, produced by contributor Dean Olser for the 100th anniversary of the broadcast.
A a wax cylinder recording of an aria by Handel, the Largo, from his opera about the Persian king Xerxes. There was to be a reading of scripture by Fessenden's wife and secretary, but the first ever instance of mic fright rendered them mute. Then came the first ever instance of dead air. So Fessenden jumped in and did it himself.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men of goodwill.
It is a mystery. Why is there apparently no audio recording of Fessenden's Christmas Eve broadcast? Did he not have another wax cylinder recording machine running to make a recording of the historic event, to create evidence, proof of what he had achieved? Without access to an actual recording, we have only reenactments. This is perhaps the best known of all. For many Canadians, it's likely the only version of the Fessenden radio story they have ever been exposed to. It's a Heritage Minute, produced for television by Historica Canada. You can find them at historicacanada.ca.
Bring the light a little closer. There. We're ready.
Mr. Fessenden, what exactly does your, super heterodyne do?
Annie, you can hear the whine of the oscillator, hmm? Look, it's just gonna let us send real sounds through the air instead of the beep, beep, beep of the radio telegraph.
SS Sandy Hook, 450 tons, course 335, 60 miles southeast of the Carolina. Huh?
Please write to us at the National Electric Signaling Company in Bradrock Station, Massachusetts.
What?
This, history tells us, is the moment when a Canadian invented radio, the use of radio, as we would come to know it and have known it, for more than a century. But wait, I'm still troubled. If Fessenden did not record the broadcast, why not? Surely he had enough equipment to play a cylinder while recording on another device, no? It's strange. Even stranger is his apparent reluctance later in life to talk about his radio patents and breakthroughs. The story of Fessenden's Christmas Eve radio miracle in 1906 comes in part from a letter written from his deathbed. In Bermuda in 1932, Fessenden writes the story, tells of his plan to surprise telegraph operators on ships, to greet the ships at sea, play a recording of music, have his wife Helen and secretary Miss Bent read a passage from the Bible, and then perform on his violin, to sing. That may have been impromptu. The singing, of course, was not very good, he writes in his deathbed letter. Ulster thinks that's the only documentation there is. But wait a minute. The Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers, known as IEEE, claims there is a recording. The Engineers Association, which calls Fessenden an unsung hero, also says there are letters from telegraph operators who heard Fessenden's broadcast on ships at sea that very Christmas Eve. The association still has an annual award in Fessenden's name for Canadian engineers who make outstanding contributions in the field of telecommunications. Still, I'm starting to wonder, did it really happen this way? Here's something we do know about Reginald Fessenden, Reg as he was known. Fessenden had the idea that if he combined two frequencies of Hertzian waves, he would be able to transmit sound and not just Morse code, and there would be a way for people to receive the transmission. He developed the superheterodyne. That involves a radio receiver which also emits a frequency. Combining that frequency with the frequency that information is being transmitted on allowed his receiving gear to receive audio. Fessenden made it work by varying the maximum change in oscillation, the amplitude of the wave being sent. He called that process amplitude modulation. There's a short form for that, AM. We call it AM radio. A Canadian is the creator of radio. The first time Reginald Fessenden transmits his voice through the air over a distance of 50 miles, December 23rd, 1900. This is Cross Talk, the final episode of Season 1. I'm Paul Cross. I study and I teach radio.